This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit menstclinic.com.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Here we go. It's hour number five of the G-Bag Nation on 105.3 The Fan. Hope you're having a terrific day, as we are. You know, a lot of good sports stories going on. We have the latest on the Cowboys coming up at 6:20. Is it true what an insider has said about Tony Pollard? We have the latest on that storyline. But it's time now for a sports hodgepodge, and here's Zach Wolchek.
I do just want to give some love to our Dallas Stars and Logan Stankoven, but Wyatt Johnston, what an absolute masterclass. And him and Stankoven together have just been fantastic. But last night for Wyatt Johnston, it was his first career hat trick. Youngest player to record a five-point game in Dallas Stars franchise history. First in Stars history with multiple 20-goal seasons before the age of 21.
Damn.
Stars are in very good hands with their youth, and tomorrow I'll have a little cut of the fellas from the Spittin' Chicklets podcast, best hockey podcast around. Just gushing.
I don't know, man.
Outside of Spits and Suds.
Yeah,
that goes without saying. But they're very entertaining, and they're gushing over our guy Logan Stankoven.
They should, man. So, they should be very jealous.
And shout out to the Spits and Suds podcast. They've got a new one out right now.
Yeah.
You can go check that out.
How about
for those,
you doing
for those
that?
Of you that are like, hey, yeah, I want a whole segment on the Stars, you can get like a whole hour on the Stars.
Yeah. Who's better, Wyatt and Stank, or Full Count and Bang Bang?
Gosh, dang it. I think Full Count and Bang. Man, oh, I don't know. That's a great question.
I don't know if about hockey. I'm going to be honest with you.
I'm going to go Full Count and Bang Bang.
Okay.
Just because we've seen a little bit more.
Give me the hockey dudes.
You want to go? I think Stank. Stank's going to be the best of the lot.
He skates like he's chaos.
Really?
I think so.
Is that good?
Yeah, Stank's that good, dude.
Stank better than Lang?
Stank could be. Stank could be, dude. Stank, I'm very excited about what
Freddie Freeman
skate?
Start
of his career.
Can Freddie Freeman skate?
Yeah.
Where'd I wouldn't put it past him. Well, because why? Bam Bam's the next Freddie Freeman.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Okay.
Yeah.
If that happens, then I think you got to go Bang Bang and Full Count. Because then you got, you know, the Savior and the next Freddie. You got two MVPs.
Yeah.
It's freaking insane right there. Shout out to the Rangers. Okay. As we hit the hodgepodge. And no, I'm Aisha from the draft show doing a great job. We're disagreeing on Marshawn Neal and the edge from Western Michigan. We can talk about him tomorrow during the draft. She can check that out at 11 o'clock.
Is she texting you about him?
She likes him a lot. I'm like, we can fight about that guy. I think I'm in the minority on that guy. I'm not a big fan. Our dude, David Schoenfeld from ESPN, we had him on last year before the season started. He's got an article out on your World Series champion Texas Rangers. And again, this is an article ranking which MLB playoff teams will not be back in 2024. He's got the Rangers at number three. Their odds to make the playoffs are hovering right around 50%. And he writes, no respect for the defending champs, perhaps not, though perhaps understandable. Top of the AL is loaded with strong playoff contenders, especially with the Yankees expected to bounce back. Rangers are predicted to have a better record than the Twins. Twins have an easier path to the playoffs than the AL Central. That's fair. They've got an easier division. Playoff percentage here isn't a knock on the Rangers, just a testament to the fact that they're in a division with the Astros and the Mariners that saw all three teams neck and neck for the title a year ago. Nothing's a lock, and the Rangers have one potential weak spot that could ruin their chance of repeating. Again, guess what they're talking about? The starting rotation. And I'm getting sick and tired of seeing this.
Yeah, it's so ignorant.
It's just ridiculous. Now, he does write why they will be back. Rangers just led the American League in runs scored and will now be adding on-base machine Evan Carter for the entire season and rookie sensation Wyatt Langford, a.k.a. Bam Bam, who has been so impressive since the Rangers drafted him last June that he nearly replaced the injured Adolis Garcia on the World Series roster last October and might have gone straight into the three-hole despite having no major league experience. Langford impressed pitching coach Mike Maddux, as we've talked about. I just saw the best player on the field, said Mad Dog. In other words, even if the pitching falters a bit, it won't matter. That is the takeaway. It's not going to matter. I don't care about the rotation, and maybe it's not that elite, maybe it's not that dominant until you're able to get some of your arms back in June or July, because the offense is going to be so damn elite and dominant, they'll be just fine.
Yeah, you only have to beat regular season teams in the months of April, May, and June. Last time
they're
I checked,
okay.
Wolfchuk.
Exactly.
And there are a lot of teams out there that are basically fielding a AAA developmental team.
Hell yeah.
We're going to be all right.
We're going to be fine, David.
Yeah.
Jeez, David. Somebody said he's a big Astros homer. Look, I think David's a sweetheart. We had a really good segment with him a year ago. We might be able to get him back here before the season starts, but maybe he is an Astros homer. I think he's a Seattle guy. I don't think he is. I think, if anything, he'd be a Mariners homer. I think he's based in Seattle. But who knows? He's saying our Rangers might not make it to the playoffs. You can bleep off there, David, with that take. Tyreek Hill has beef. This is with Rick Ross. Now, he was on the Pivot podcast, which you're damn sure I know all the members of the Pivot now, Lucius. I know we had a little bit of a run-in in Vegas, but I am well aware these days. But here was Tyreek Hill talking about this.
Nah, you don't want to go to this one.
Oh, I don't?
Nah, I just listened to it again. I missed a few.
Okay,
bleeps.
We'll save this. We'll save this for tomorrow. Okay, we're going to save this.
You went GD right off the gate. I was like, okay, I missed that one.
Oops. Tease for Hodgepodge tomorrow. Rick Ross feuding with Tyreek Hill. Come back on Thirsty Thursday in the G-Bag Nation. All right, let's throw to Troy Polamalu because I know this one's clean. Troy Polamalu was on Bussin' with the Boys. This is badass. If you're a football fan and you love Troy Polamalu, he's talking about basically knowing every single defensive position, and during mid-plays, he would be switching positions. He's a safety, but there would be times based on his knowledge of film study, he's like, I'm going to slide over, play linebacker here. I might move over, play corner here. This is incredible from Troy Polamalu.
At Pittsburgh, the unique thing that I had as a role was my rookie year, they made play safety, both safeties, which were two different positions at the time, and then both nickel and the dime, and cornerback. So I was end up being like the big safety on corner. So I literally played almost every position on defense. And then on sometimes on three-man rushes, I'd be the fourth rusher. So you could literally say I played every position. What was really cool about that, terrible about that was I had to learn them all, which was terrible because my whole rookie year, I gave up a touchdown game. When you look at an offense and then you see, hey man, they attack you in this way, and I'm a safety, I'm like, I play every position. I know what everybody's doing. If I know the ball's going there, coach, I'm just going to switch with him. I'm going to say, all right, you know, linebacker, you play safety, I'm going to play linebacker, because I know if you play it right, but I know the play, I'm going to blow it up. So for me, that's kind of where I started to really develop. I started seeing, man, I'm knowing everybody's role, and if I know that the ball's going to go there, I'm just going to switch positions with him.
I love that from Troy Polamalu. I mean, what an absolute freak of nature, dude. That guy was so good. I mean, he talked about maybe he gave up a touchdown every single game his rookie year, but he also went through and watched like every single snap of his top five safeties every year in the league. So a lot of Ed Reed he was watching, some of Bob Sanders. It was a really good interview, sit down with Troy Polamalu, busting with the boys.
Just incredible. And a guy that didn't have great foot speed, but for a five or six year period.
But the IQ.
Yeah.
So smart.
Mm-hmm.
And he talked about playing all the positions. You know, he was the version of what teams or coordinators have to deal with Micah Parsons now. You had to find him on the field. Like, they were setting protections, and because of his ability to blitz, his ability just to knife through and make plays off the edge, him walking like timing the blitz out of the secondary, or how he would play in coverage, he would bait you into throws that, and then now he's in the lineup to get the interception. I mean, he was incredible how he played.
The only thing he doesn't have or didn't have is the voice of a football player, Wolchuk.
No, he's very soft-spoken.
Yeah.
Very, yes. But he did have the hair. That's for damn sure. Shout out to that head of hair from Troy Polamalu. We talked yesterday about the boycott, Johnny Manziel, Reggie Bush. NCAA has rejected Reggie Bush's request to reconsider penalties that were levied against the USC football program as part of his effort to regain his Heisman Trophy because, quote, not an involved individual, says the NCAA in their case. In the letter from the NCAA to Bush's legals team obtained by CBS Sports, they say you were never officially charged by the NCAA enforcement staff. The letter clarifies to Bush that the scenarios were an institutional penalty. Therefore, you do not have standing to seek reconsideration. The request is therefore denied.
I would just say, screw you guys. I'm not talking to you guys ever again. Like, I don't know if I'm the NCAA, if I could even write up this release. I'd be like, guys, what are we doing? This is the weirdest thing ever. We created this really weird system where we insisted on calling them amateurs. And in the course of history, they were trying to get paid. And, you know, we looked the other way for the system of them getting paid because it was for our own good. We didn't have to pay them. Boosters were paying them. Alumni were paying them. And then we'd put them in trouble and mess with their legacy. And there was a long, long period of time in the U.S. where, you know, these players that would do something like this were treated as real criminals, you know, and would take baggage into the NFL based on, you know, breaking the rules to be compensated while they were helping their university and TV networks make millions and millions of dollars. I think it is one of the most deplorable things I've witnessed in sports in my lifetime. And it continues to this day. Well, Chuck.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, go bleep yourselves, NCAA. What the hell's going on with you? Give Reggie Bush's Heisman back. Please.
I'll clean that Tyreek if you want it.
Oh, you've got it?
Yeah, I cleaned it up.
Okay, let's get to the beef. Tyreek Hill, the Cheetah, and Rick Ross. Take it away, Tyreek.
And that one day on radio, and the whole thing is about your house being on fire. Bro, what the hell happened?
Bro, I was at practice when it happened. Crazy. First of all, I just want to say, Rick Ross, bro, I can't vibe with you now, bro. I can't with you no more, bro. But yeah, Rick Ross, man. Like, you ain't even come over. You had the audacity to talk to a fireman instead of come text. You got my number, bro. You get on Twitter, post me all over Twitter. Like, after what me and my family went through. You supposed to be the neighborhood hero. But, yeah, man, I was at
practice. Freddie lived there, too. You know
that's
him.
Funny.
Freddie lived there.
You saw my story?
Though. Oh, okay.
You see me say anything.
He didn't say nothing.
I didn't say a
thing. I was getting the updates.
Andy hit my line. By the time I got out there, it was 16 fire trucks.
Bro.
I was in the house. I was actually on the treadmill doing some cardio. I went out there. I'm like, what the I walked down. I'm like, oh, no, this ain't good. And then she was trying to get to work. And, you know, I seen Rose over there. I think it might be electrical because the smoke is dark.
And then you want to say something about Wingstop on there. I'm like, yo, what's going on? Don't try to use me for promotion, bro.
Man, poor dude's house is on fire. Rick Ross is out here live streaming.
Cloud chasing.
Yeah.
Big ball, so cloud chasing, dog.
What the hell are
it's
we
really
doing?
Sad to see. It's really sad to see.
Gosh. Come on, Rick. You don't need to be doing that. And giving a Wingstop plugs. What are we doing?
Attention is a drug.
My gosh.
And everybody's addicted right now.
Everyone was safe, though. That's what counts. I think, what was it? A kid accidentally set the house on fire, I think was what they ended up finding out. With a cigarette lighter, that's what it was.
Yeah, a kid was playing in his bed, I think. Happened to my buddy Greg Henson, founding father of the G-Bag Nation.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Jeez.
Got a bad burn on his leg. Didn't burn the house down that I'm aware of, but yeah.
Well, speaking of burns, the you know the Bills Mafia, they do the whole light the table on fire, let's jump through it. Well, Jason Kelce was ticked off. He didn't get to do that when he went to Buffalo. Well, he did it. He's retired, and so his going away gift, as promised, was all right. Somebody hooked him up in Brooklyn, Pennsylvania, or Brookline, Pennsylvania, from the fire department.
They had this in the house. Sorry.
Yes.
Brookline, Massachusetts.
They said,
they heard that New York one, they come get you. Come get you for that one.
I'm sorry.
Sorry, New York.
Will you say, son?
They set a table on fire, but they gave him like a whole fire suit basically to do this. Yeah. And he jumped onto the table. To me, it's not quite as cool, but at least he got to live out that dream to go ahead and do it. And then there's another story that's going out. I think there's a CBS Sports Minute right before his press conference to retire. Their longtime trainer that has gone ahead and taped him up for every single one of his games. He has cancer and he had to miss their wild card game in Tampa Bay because of chemo treatments. and he didn't get to tape Jason Kelce up for what inevitably was his final game. So Jason,
he's
going to
tape him up for the table jump.
He taped him up right before he went and signed off. His press conference.
All right. So he did it in tape. He had all his tape on him.
Yeah, he did. He was taped up and ready to go play a game. Yeah. So that's a heartfelt moment there.
Yeah.
Heartfelt. I didn't think you were going to like that. I didn't either. I think it's kind of been a little blown out of proportion.
Yeah.
I think so too.
Can you tape me up, brother?
Yeah.
One more time.
Like, that's something where kind of keep that private between you two.
It's weird.
You know, it does kind of seem like I'm looking for attention here now that this story's out there.
Yeah.
Why are you guys being so hateful?
I don't know. Maybe it's an Eagle.
He's a crybaby.
Guy taped him up for 135 straight games.
I think it's badass, and it's a beautiful thing between those two men. Keep it between you two. We don't need to know about this.
He's been in a weird place since that Eagles team fell
apart. Let me tell you what, man. I've talked to a lot of trainers around the league. That whole thing that's come out about, you know, the grade and the trainers and stuff like that. Yeah. There are a lot of dudes that are hurt right now. Hmm. I mean, hurt.
Well,
that they talk about being away from family and time and trying to get these guys right and all that. I've talked to several of them that were just not too happy with
The NFLPA survey, yeah, a lot of the teams had players that didn't like the training staff.
Like they,
you know, I think it's a tough place to be, Brian, and you tell me, but I think a lot of players just don't trust the training staff or the medical staff right off the rip.
Because they feel like you're trying
to get me right so I can play hurt. And well, I know a lot of the trainers would never do that, but there's just a suspicion coming from the player perspective from what I can tell.
I'll tell you what, man, I know two things. You can't have a team without the equipment guys and the trainers.
No, absolutely.
Everybody else.
Not.
I mean, without this, I just feel like that it's unfortunate that these guys do get graded on that. It becomes public. If you have a beef with your trainer and you don't trust them and all that, and there's a lot of guys that don't. But I know personally, I know the guys over at the Cowboys very, very well. And I can't tell you how many times that I've seen a player that come back from an injury and give Britt Brown a hug on the field before they go back to start playing, you know, and then a team like that gets a D+, and you know, that's just, to me, keep that to yourself if that's your thought. But there's a lot of guys and gals I talked to around the league that are like pretty sad and pretty tore up by what the players had to say about them.
Well, I love what Jason Kelce did here. I think it was a beautiful moment.
Right on.
You just changed your tune. You and Dawson were agreeing with each other.
You watchdogged him for it.
Well, now I feel like I've been put in a corner.
I guess we were in the wrong for hating on Eagles.
I thought it was
Philadelphia GM.
I don't think we all need to know about this. I think that it's just become kind of a look at me thing here.
The guy had cancer.
No, I think it's awesome that he allowed him to do that. I just don't think it needs to be a public story. But that's where I'm at. Like everything Jason Kelce.
It's almost like Make-A-Wish trainer.
Well, not really. He's a great trainer.
Yeah, but he's got cancer. Who knows if he will be with us tomorrow?
I'm with you, man. I think it's awesome that they did that.
What if his last memory is that?
I just don't think it needed to be a story that is public and everybody knows. I think it would have been a special moment just between those two guys.
Okay.
It is the G-Bag Nation here on 105 through the Fan.
I'm not done
Live.
With you over there, too.
Why are you watchdogging over there, damn it?
I'm not watchdogging. You brought it up.
You love freaking
Dawson.
Philadelphia.
I do love Philadelphia.
You know, I sit here and I love on Jason Kelce plenty. All right? I have one damn problem with something he does. Now I'm a hater.
I don't care about a guy who needs tape.
Golly.
That's a BS thing over there.
I didn't say that.
I was imitating Dawson there for a minute.
Yeah, Gavin's a freaking hater. Go after him.
He is. He's a troller,
he
dude.
He sucks.
817 says I have... No, 682 says I have Skip Bayless energy, and 817 says the free education these people get worth hundreds of thousands of dollars isn't compensation. So I'm trying to fight these text people.
What do you mean, these people?
Well, you guys are having it out over here about
the
Eagles.
Who are these people?
Are you talking about the people in college? Is that what they're talking about?
I think that's what he... Yeah, the I guess
it ain't
these.
Free, man. You got to do a lot of work to get that that money. A lot of work you got to do.
I mean, I take
money.
Offense for the Make-A-Wish reference. They're freaking jerk.
What?
Golly.
Tear his ass up.
Bro, you getting ate up on his fan text this whole
going off.
They're eating you up, bro.
Who, me or
Dawson?
Oh, they're getting me?
Yeah, because it was a feel-good story. Here comes Dawson.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, tape it somewhere else, pal.
That's a lovin'.
I think it was beautiful.
It was beautiful, right up until Broadus ruined it with watchdogging you.
Yeah.
We got to run. I'm just kidding.
Damn,
okay.
Brian.
Is it true what an insider says about Tony Pollard? Troy
yes.
Aikman, is it true what he says about Dak? It's next, the G-Bag Nation on 105.3 The Fan.
It's hard.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's going to go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Welcome back. It is the G-Bag Nation on 105.3 The Fan. Hope you're having a great day. Segment's brought to you by the Frankels. Life is unpredictable. Accidents happen. Franklin Frankel, the go-to attorneys for car and truck wreck accidents in DFW. Call 214 or 817-333-3333. Go online to truckwreck.com. It's also brought to you by Cars for Kids. Donate today at carsforkids.org. Okay, is it true what an insider says about Tony Pollard, and do you agree with what Troy Aikman says about Dakota Rain Prescott? Which of those two would you guys like first?
Dak.
Yeah, let's go Dak.
Okay, I'm not trying to over-Dak the show.
I know you're not.
And I think this is the first time we've talked Dak today.
It is, and I think that usually what Troy Aikman says, people are interested in.
Absolutely. I think Troy Aikman might be one of the best truth-tellers in sports. You know, and I just love listening to him talk because I feel like he's shooting straight to me, whatever the Cowboy topic is.
I feel like he walks a very, very careful tightrope at times. I think he feels like he's going to fall off and go crazy, and then other times he walks all the way across and makes it. So,
yeah.
You know what I mean? I mean, yes. He's got to he wants to tell you the truth,
yeah.
And he wants to be critical, but he also realizes where
he wants to show respect.
He wants to show respect.
But
yeah.
Okay, so most of the time people go, I'm going to be respectful or be a fan, like 90-10.
Yeah. Right.
And Troikman's legit trying to do it 50-50. He's trying his hardest to give you his honest answer.
He can have cowboy disappointment with a lot of people, and he could also give Jerry a hug.
Yeah. And okay, so Troy, you know, he had Dak at his event yesterday as well on top of that, just to provide more context. But he says, I benefited from the teams I was on. So I understand there's two sides to the coin. But until you do it, there's always the question of whether or not you can. I do think this last year is going to be a year that the organization and the players all look back on and see they really missed an opportunity.
Yeah.
But Troy Aikman says he does believe that Dak's best football is still ahead of him. His best years are ahead. You know, for a while there, quarterbacks over the age of 30 were not winning the Super Bowl. And I remember the story around Tony when he got to 30. It was like, oh, no quarterbacks ever win their first Super Bowl after the age of 30. But it does seem like age is a significantly less factor in this version of the NFL. And your understanding and experience as a result of the lack of physicality demanded from your position anymore can have a bigger impact. So I do believe chances are pretty good that Dak can, you know, benefit from that experience significantly. I wonder, you know, if the loss of the ability to make plays with his legs mitigates that entirely. Was his best football his first 4 years, or is it going to be the next 4 years? Well, Chuck Broadus, what do you think?
It's hard to imagine that he can play better than what he just did, right?
No question.
I mean,
no question.
Hey, to think that going into year 9, 10, wherever we are with Dak,
sure,
that he's just we know in the regular season he played like an MVP caliber quarterback, and he's done that now a couple of times in his career.
Yep.
So I believe he could play at an MVP level in the regular season next year too. But the question is, what do you do in the postseason? And there's ways where I think you've seen quarterbacks lose in the playoffs, but they didn't lay an egg. Dak has done that three times in their last three defeats now. And you can say, like, no, look at his stats. Well, the first half was a disaster against Green Bay.
Yeah.
The second half, sure, you're playing against a team that is up 27-0 that knows they've got this game in hand. We're going ahead and we're taking a step back here. Now, yeah, it's a little bit easier to move the football and pass the ball around. To me, those are empty stats. What you did in the second half against Green Bay, I don't care what the final stat line looked like. The first 30 minutes where that game was lost was horrible.
Yeah, you don't win as the Cowboys if you're trailing at halftime. So
not
you
at
better
all.
Be leading at halftime. Yeah.
And then the two losses previously against San Francisco was a direct reflection of the offense could not perform. Your defense played well enough for you to win both of those football games.
Yeah.
You did not hold up your end of the bargain. So, yeah, he's played great against Tampa Bay. He played really well against Seattle to get that playoff win. Those are his two playoff wins. And then we got to go back to 2016, where, again, he played terrible in the first half against the Packers and then had a great second half where he went toe-to-toe with Aaron Rodgers. But you've got three playoff games now where it has just been horrible, and you have had that deer-in-the-headlights look where you've had no answer.
Well, what are you thinking when I say he still hasn't had as good of a supporting cast as the teams that are making the Super Bowl from the NFC side? Is that accurate?
Man, I don't know. They were and say what you want, they did beat Detroit, who was three, right? They beat the Rams, who was in the tournament, right?
Yeah.
As well. The fact that they were the second overall seed in the conference, I would say that they probably had this second best talent in the NFC. I would take San Francisco's team, talent wise.
Yeah, you would.
I'd absolutely.
But then last year's Eagles team was really well rounded.
They were better.
I think they were better than there was a time where I didn't think they were better than the Eagles.
They were better than the Eagles last year.
The Eagles Super Bowl team.
Oh. Yeah, that was close.
Oh, I see what you're doing.
That was close, but I mean that team wouldn't have gotten there if San Francisco hadn't been besieged by injuries. I don't think, but
maybe not.
That Eagles team and the Cowboys is a good comp. Maybe the Eagles in 2022 were a little bit better, though. Yeah. I would be comfortable saying that.
But otherwise, I mean, it's hard, you know. Like,
well, I mean, hold on. Let me say this: they haven't arrived in the playoffs with a team that can run the ball and stop the run, and that's what you do in January. Right. So we can talk about Dak. He just can't do it. He obviously can do it. Nick Foles won a Super Bowl. Brock Purdy's getting there. Jalen Hurts is getting there. I think it's more about the Joneses building a super team around him.
He might have lost that opportunity. Now, I will say this. I think that when you look at with the salary cap and the way it is and all that, I think they're going to have to make some really, really hard decisions. This year is going to be key whether they can still have this kind of run. If they don't draft well, if they don't maybe get some guys, some free agents to play well, the window might have closed on this guy.
Yeah. Yeah, they need that free agent class
because
where like four or five guys are making impacts and are very solid veterans.
Because what happens is if they don't do well, if they don't win, then you're going to get a new coach, and you're probably going to see a lot of a bloodletting on the roster with some of the players that they've signed.
Yes, 2025 salary cap reality is tough. And
they know that too.
Yeah.
They
Zach, plan for these things.
Zach, you were with me, right? We had that elevator ride.
Yeah.
And, yeah, we ran into some people, and we were talking about the cap, and guy goes, 2025 is not going to be good.
And that's really interesting because we can look at Spotrac or over the cap and say, wow, it looks like they could be in trouble. But when somebody confirms that to you and says, no, actually, this is going to be a challenge.
It's going to be a challenge.
Then that means it's really got their attention. Aikman was asked, should his future in Dallas be in doubt? He said, I don't think it is. They've got to do this deal. They've got to free up some money so he'll be here a while longer, and he should. He's proven he can play at a high level. And I agree with that. I think the high level stops, as it would, I think, with every quarterback when you arrive against a playoff defense and you can't run the ball. Almost all of the teams. Now, there are some that make the playoffs that won't be able to take that away. But the Cowboys have given Dak a team with massive holes that'll get you whipped. You know, just in the regular season, if you have a massive hole, a lot of times, especially with this Cowboys schedule in the East, you're going up against teams that can't exploit it. You know, the majority of the times once you get to the playoffs, there's no hiding it. And these teams are rolling and they're hot. They're working with momentum. And you're like, hey, we can't stop the run if you motion. You know, I know we have good personnel, and on paper you add up like, hey, we got the same amount of all pros, we got the same amount of Pro Bowlers, but the construction of it leaves massive gaping holes where the Jones family wants to get a little bit of a break on the salary cap. You know, they don't want to shove it all in and then intentionally be bad for 2 years. They want their down years to be about 500 where they're pretending like they're a playoff team. And until that changes, like the 214 says, no, Gavin, you telling me that can't win? You've seen Trent Dilfer win a Super Bowl, right? You've seen Brad Johnson, former Cowboys quarterback, win a Super Bowl with Tampa. Did you think when he was there he could ever win a quarterback? You were like, no, Brad Johnson sucks. Well, guess what? He went to a team that knows how to build a championship caliber roster, and he won one. And there have been lots of bad quarterbacks now doing it. This is the era of the mediocre quarterback making the Super Bowl because they've made quarterbacking so easy. You know, it's so easy. Now, you'll agree with this 214 because I'm going to be critical of Dak. They've made quarterbacking, especially in the regular season, so easy that guys like Dak will look as good as Mahomes. Oh, look at that. Another 4-touchdown game, 270 yards, no picks. Yeah, it's because of the way that the game is built with the rules to make these guys very comfortable so they can give the TV-friendly plays. But more than ever, the men and boys are differentiated when you get into the playoffs and everybody has to go up against good defenses and the other team's offense is more than capable. And I can't put that all on Dak. Dak can do nothing about stopping the Green Bay Packers from running it down your throat. You know, there's certainly his part of it, but I need to see, you know, the Cowboys address those things before I'm willing to throw out Dak, although I got to admit it would be exciting if they decided to move on. I think, you know, it gives you a chance. It gives you a chance to do something different. Maybe you hit the Hall of Famer. Maybe you get lucky and you win that lottery ticket, or maybe you win with a cheap quarterback. That's the other part about this take. They've made it so easy that rookie no-namers can show up and put up a 100 passer rating. My entire childhood, it was only Joe Montana who could do the 100 passer rating. Yeah. Nobody else had done it. And now Russell Wilson gets fired for doing it. It's just a crazy scene, and I think the NFL has us by the balls because, you know, every team has a chance to put out a very compelling TV product, and the business model works so very well, and Jerry Jones is the king of that. Okay, I got you that. I'm going to get you this other thing. What did I tease? Oh, yes. Insider says the most realistic destination for Tony Pollard is now back in Dallas, Brian. You buying or selling that?
I said it earlier. I was on the Cowboys break today too, and I said I felt like that. It's about availability, and they understand the player, and he's going to make a deal with them, and he's going to, you know, they gave him $10 million last year. It didn't work out for him. They'll bring him back on a cheap deal. Coaches always like the familiarity part of things. Pollard, and then they'll draft. I could see them doing both. I know what Tony Pollard is. And maybe Tony Pollard could get back to rushing for 5.5 yards a carry. You know, maybe he could be that guy again.
He at least gives you good pass protection now, right?
Yeah, he's gotten a lot better at that. But to
probably
me,
get you 4 yards a carry.
I would kind of move on from there. I have never seen a running back group as good as the one that we're seeing in free agency right now. I might take a different path to that.
Okay. 469, you're still wrong about lesser quarterbacks that have won. What are you talking about, dude? Joe Flacco won a Super Bowl. Nick Foles won a Super Bowl. You know, the NFL's littered with guys, you know, and they're
Bob Greasy.
what they had was great teams around them. And to me, that proves that Dak's good enough to win it.
You either have the great team or the elite unit, whether it's your defense that can carry you like the Baltimore Ravens did or the Bucs did with Brad Johnson, or you've got the elite quarterback.
Eli Manning?
They had an elite defensive line. Yeah. And they ran the football really well. Yeah. So you're either a well-rounded team that then, okay, you can carry that quarterback, or you've got the Mahomes or the Brady or the Manning or the Roethlisberger.
Yeah.
You've got the Hall of Fame elite quarterback.
Yeah.
That's the formula.
I'd say Roethlisberger had elite coaching and elite defense and a great
run game. The first
year
he won? Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, constantly. And then he had elite weapons, just an incredible organization there with the Steelers. The organization is going to win the championship. Tampa Bay literally had an all-time defense with Brad Johnson. You're right about that.
Sure did.
Okay. Show me a quarterback who got paid elite money and took a team to a Super Bowl. I don't know if those exist. You know, we're just talking about Dak as a player. Now, you're talking about what I complain about, which is salary cap management by the Joneses, and that is a front office or owner failure. you know, more than the failure of the player. DeMarvian Overshown did not have the rookie year he expected. Yeah.
Let me ask you this. Quarterback paid elite money. Mahomes?
Yeah, Mahomes got 50 mil.
Mahomes?
Oh, well, yeah.
But right,
no, this kind of quarterback. A mid quarterback is what the text said.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah. I thought you said somebody. I thought somebody asked, show me a quarterback that got paid and they won the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
That's what I was thinking you were saying.
I think it's only the quarterbacks that are mid and have gotten paid that he's making the point about. And I can't think of any of those. You know, your Derek Carrs, your Phil Rivers, Matt Ryan got close.
Matt Ryan was close. Matt Ryan was the one that I was thinking maybe.
Yeah, I mean, it was so close, but did not come together for him after 28-3. DeMarvian Overshown, more hungry to compete in linebacker room after ACL recovery is the story from Nick Harris. That concludes the Cowboys news of the evening. I think that one's exciting, though. You know, if Overshown can be that player that you guys thought he was looking like in camp.
Well, the problem is, though, every one of these guys that have come back from injury, it's taken them anywhere from 8 to 10 weeks. I would think we need to temper our expectations there. Kid's worked hard. I've seen him on the field. He's going to do everything he can. But every one of these guys that have come back from a knee injury, it's taken time. Pollard, the right tackle, Gallup.
Never came back.
Every one of them.
Yeah.
Every one of them. So temper your expectations on those.
Man, the G-Bag Nation here on 105 Through the Fan, I got to go here. We got Crosstalk coming up with the Get Right. We'll talk with Reggie and CA, see what they have cooking here for you on a Wednesday night. It's the G-Bag Nation on the Fan. It is the G-Bag Nation, and thank you, sir. Here on 105.3 The Fan, it is time now to crosstalk with the Get Right here. We have Reggie and CA this evening, 7 to 11. Gentlemen, how we doing?
Making it, fellas. How are y'all?
Doing great. Have some baseball stuff, some takeaways from the day in Arizona as they battled the Rockies. What's coming up with you guys tonight?
We're going to get a little baseball ourselves. At 8 p.m., we'll get a spring training update from Jared Sandler, the man himself, as, you know, Rangers got a little bit of action against the Rockies earlier today. So we'll see what's happening with that. And then at 9:20, we're going to ask a question based on the Stars' fantastic comeback in San Jose. What game did you give up on too early? Because I have to raise my hand on this one. I took it to bed. I was like, look, man, I need to get this rest. And I missed a fantastic comeback with Wyatt Johnston putting a couple in after I had turned the TV off to solidify that hat trick.
Do you not get the alerts on your phone?
I might be suffering from the instance of having too many alerts on.
Okay.
Where it's just like now
I do the local teams.
Oh, so just when it gets close?
Yeah. And they'll tell you, close game in Anaheim.
That's a smart way of
close
playing
game.
It.
And, you know, and so then you know, like I was watching tape and I gave up too. I was like, it kept every time it beeped, it was San Jose goal.
Yeah.
And then finally, and all of a sudden it's like, it started beeping the other way where it was Dallas goal. And I'm like, last 7 minutes, I got to watch this game.
Yeah.
And I got to figure this out. And lo and behold, though, I did not give it up. And I was thinking, God, this is going to be a loss here. I was feeling bad because like San Jose had won like 16 games.
They're right. Not.
And I was
not
just like,
team.
God, why are we playing so bad against these guys?
Although, like, I guess if you want to give the Stars a little bit of credit, and they did win the game, right? So we don't have to don't have to feel too bad. But like San Jose has oddly played some of the good teams well.
Yeah.
Even though they don't have a lot of wins.
Well, that's
their
Stanley Cup.
And so but thankfully the Stars were able to avoid that trap. But I mean, obviously, I was sitting where you were last night,
right.
And you know when the game starts at like 9:30, and we see them go down quickly 2-0, and I'm like, oh goodness, and then they claw back for the first intermission. I'm like, all right, cool.
Yeah.
And then I see it, you know, balloon the other way, and I was like, all right, I'm done.
Yeah.
All right, like I had gone through the roller coaster already. I was out, but apparently I was wrong to do that because the young Bucks,
the young guns, man,
something to say.
Chris, Wyatt and Stank.
Chris, would you remember this game? Would you remember the Clint Longley game?
Of course.
Okay.
The Thanksgiving Day game.
1974?
Mm-hmm.
That's the one I left early.
The Drew Pearson.
That's the one I left early.
You were
early.
At that game, huh?
I was at that game, and I left early.
Look out. Your dad drove you away?
No, I was with my grandmother, actually.
Okay.
And, Morton's Foods, we were in the restaurant business, and Morton's Food was a company we bought product from. And they used to take a bus out to Old Texas Stadium. And I looked at my grandma and I go, hey, we can go ahead and go. We can get to the bus, you know, we go early. And
was it cold that day?
It was kind of a little chilly.
Mm-hmm.
So she goes, okay. And we just, next thing you know, we're sitting on the bus by ourselves and nobody's there. And everybody comes running back on the bus. Yay, Cowboys, Cowboys. And I'm like, uh-oh, what happened? Clint Longley, Staubach got knocked out. Clint Longley threw a touchdown.
Drew Pearson.
And my grandma looked at me and goes, I am so sorry. And I didn't leave a game early. until the World Series game.
That was the class when you and Willie Bullet.
When me and Woolchuck. Yeah. And I left because I felt like that I needed to go listen to it on the radio. I'd been listening to all the games on the radio.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so that was a conscious decision. You were trying to change the juju.
But I drug Woolchuck into my problem.
Well, that's his fault for not having a backbone, honestly, at that point.
Yeah, he should have called an Uber later. He should have said, I'm staying. I'll call an Uber.
I felt like he's like, oh, man, fine. We'll go ahead and go. And I'm like, and I swear to you, when we went back to Arizona, I had game five locked. I mean, I was like, if we could have got the radio, the broadcast position to, I would have just taken Woolchuck to that game. That's how bad I felt about pulling him out of that game.
Yeah.
And I'd have loved to have been there when they clinched in Arizona.
Of course.
I think that would have made up for it. That was my hope.
So, Brian, let me see if I get this right, because I remember you called us up on Fan Jam the next day.
Yeah.
And you were telling us this whole story. And I think you said at one point that when Woolchuck was getting in the car, he missed the Corey Seager home run.
Yeah.
And then you're driving.
Yeah.
And then he gets out of the car here at the station to get into his car.
Yeah.
And he missed the win.
Yeah, missed the win. That's the worst I've ever felt at a sporting event for somebody. I didn't feel bad for me.
Right.
Right.
I felt really bad for him. And to this day, I'll take that one with me.
That's fine. He'll be able to catch them this year when they win it, right?
Yeah. I just love it because I am leave early guy, and that's the one game that I stayed.
Your family was here, right?
It paid off with one of my best moments in my lifetime.
I knew you were going to say that. Best moments of lifetime. You're
rubbing it in.
Yeah. I mean,
well, Brian Woolchuck's named his daughter Brianetta. Does that help?
Yeah. I'm surprised, like I said, that he's such a nice guy about it.
Yeah.
He really is a nice guy because I would be losing my S. I would, and he didn't. I appreciate that.
Well, here comes the get right, gentlemen.
Yep.
Reggie and CA tonight's configuration. Thanks so much to Lucius Alexander, the Pimp Cup Master Control. Thanks to Carter Freeman coordinating the video. Thanks to Brian Broaddus, of course, and Zach Woolchuck, who is on his way to the NICU to see his newborn baby daughter. Okay. Until tomorrow at 2, you're going home with the G-Bag Nation. At ease.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.